Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. We have all kinds of people at North Central. Amen, church? And all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have kids and some don't have kids. Many here today and many watching are believers, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together. And here's the kicker. It helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Amen. How do you avoid a monotonous life regretting your decisions? How do you avoid a monotonous life? There's one thing that's crystal clear from the book of Ecclesiastes. The journal of King Solomon shoots us straight. You know, when you go see a doctor, you want the truth, don't you? Well, one thing that happens in this book is Solomon shoots us straight, and he says, there's really nothing new under the sun, and if you look at it from a certain view, it looks like the whole world is just the same. It's monotonous, and it's weary, and it's difficult. Well, how do you avoid a monotonous life regretting your decisions? May I suggest to you that in our passage today, it's going to be this. Don't be a fool is going to be the answer from our passage and our text in Scripture. You know, Solomon has concluded, that death is unavoidable. Do we all agree on that? By the way, we all agree on that, don't we? Death is unavoidable. I don't like to think about it. I'm not trying to get up a group today, but I know it's coming. Death is unavoidable, and here's the thing. Life, here's another truth. Life is unpredictable. He says that as well, and we learn that from the book of Ecclesiastes. But here's what we must do. Solomon concludes that life is indeed worth living. And he says we are to enjoy this life that God has given us under the sun. Now, how do we do that? We must do it by avoiding folly in chapter 10. And we must live by the wisdom of God. In other words, we've got to break from the herd. You see, what happens is most people just follow the foolish way. What does the scripture say? There's a broad road that leads to destruction, and many are they that go that way. But there is a narrow way that leads to life everlasting, and few are they that go that way. There is a sense that everyone's just going the foolish way. The majority of our world is just going the way that is the way of the fool. And they're living life according to the way they think they ought to live. They're living the life the way they think that will give them the most pleasure. And unfortunately, they're not listening to the wisdom of God. And so I heard that when our country was expanding out west, they went out and they saw that the Indian out in the west, they were great hunters of buffalo, and they actually, the buffalo herds almost went away because they had done such a great job harvesting the buffalo out in the west. How did they do it? Did they do it just with spears? No. What they did is they would get a huge herd of buffalo next to a cliff, and that young calf would be in that group of older buffalo, and all of a sudden, that Indian would just begin to holler and scream and make a huge commotion. And the fear could be seen in the eyes of that young buffalo, and it would begin to run. Well, another one would begin to run, another one would begin to run, and they would herd that buffalo, and they would send that herd of buffalo over a cliff. And they would fall, and they would die at the bottom, and they were able to harvest all those buffalo in that way. And many, many times in our society, we're like that. We're watching the way everyone else is going, and we're following the fools over a cliff. The scripture is trying to tell us that we can listen to wisdom. We can listen to the design of life from God's point of view. That's what wisdom is, seeing life from God's point of view. Once we give our life to Jesus Christ, then we study this word of God that we have right here. We study this word of God in order that we might know what God says about life, and then we make a commitment that we're going to live that way. There was a young man named Rick, and all of his life he had dreamed of being an astronaut. And Rick had applied. He was an Air Force pilot. As a young boy, he dreamed of being an astronaut. And so he went to the Air Force. He learned how to fly. He was a fighter pilot. And he had applied to be an astronaut. Well, he was rejected. On most of his applications, they had to have perfect eyesight. And they asked the question. They asked the specific question, have you ever worn hard contact lenses? He knew that if he wrote yes on that application, that he would be rejected, and yet he had worn, for a brief time to try to improve his sight, he had worn hard contact lenses. And so in filling that out, even as a Christian, he was filling that out thinking, my dream is to be an astronaut. And so he wrote on that application, he wrote, no, I've never worn hard contact lenses. He was rejected. He was wrestling with filling out the application four times. On the fourth time, what is he going to do? God was moving in his life. He was learning what it meant to be a godly husband, what it meant to be a godly father. He was in the Word. He was studying, and he wrestled with it. What is he going to do? Is he going to do what he thinks will get him the ultimate answer that he's looking for? Or will he honor God? One of the things that we wrestle with in this life, ladies and gentlemen, is will we do what we think will get us what we think we want, or will we honor God no matter what the cost? Rick had a decision to make. It's a similar decision that a man named David had. He was working in the insurance business, and he had a great job. He was in a church that was teaching his children. They were happy. They were growing spiritually. And he had an opportunity to leave that city and to go to another city and make a tremendous salary. Well, what do most people do? Most people's drive in work is you go where the money is. You go where the biggest salary is. So he had a decision to make. Do I decide that I'm going to take this job opportunity, I'm going to have to uproot my family and move somewhere to make some more money, but I'm comfortable here, I'm happy here, my kids are vibrant here, they're growing in Jesus Christ here, what do I do? Well, the world says out there, you know, you make the decision based on money. And I would say to every young person and our students in here, often the world is saying that is what drives your decision making. Can I tell you this? I think spiritual things ought to be the driving force in your life. So David was wrestling with that decision. I'll never forget at a youth camp, a young man was challenged. Do you want a Bible? All these young people there, do you want a Bible? Well, sure, I'm glad I got one in here. It's normally pretty barren, but anyway, Kelly, would you give me some money? No, I'm kidding. All right. He said, do you want a Bible or do you want this $10 bill? Well, the kid already had a Bible. Matter of fact, I was thinking about doing this today. I got my friend over here, Ira. This is Ira Caldwell. How old are you, Ira? Ira's 12 years old. This is Simon, his brother right here, and Claire, his mom right here. Don't give me an answer now. I want you to think about this. You have a Bible? Let me see it. Check this out, y'all. We're talking tabs. We are talking colored tabs. This guy has got a Cadillac Bible right here, okay? I mean, this is a, man, I want to borrow this for my study. This is good. Okay, so he already has a Bible, but I'm going to make you an offer. This is a little gift Bible that we have. So you can either have that Bible, or I got a $10 bill for you. Now, Simon, don't try to influence him, man. I want you steer him in the right direction, buddy. So I'm going to leave these with you, and after the sermon, I want you to tell me which one you want, okay? All right, buddy. So here's the dilemma. How are you going to make decisions in life? Are you going to do what happens with most folks as they make decisions based upon the herd, based upon the wisdom or the concepts of what the world would say, and the scripture calls that the foolish way? Or are you going to go by the way of wisdom? Well, can I tell you this? Our scripture today helps us. It helps us understand about the foolish way and the way of wisdom. So I want to read our text today. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 through 20. Okay, this is like 9 verses of scripture. So let me read it. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read it from my copy. This is Ecclesiastes 10, 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. A fool also multiplies words. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? The labor of fools wearies them, for they do not even know how to go to the city. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes feast in the morning. Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles and your princes feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. Verse 18, because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money answers everything. Do not curse the king, even in your thought. Do not curse the rich, even in your bedroom. For a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter. Don't be a fool during the search is the title of today's Bible study. Don't be a fool during the search. There are only two basic movements in this passage, so there are just two main things I want to say to you. Here's the first one. Number one, learn about fools and their talk. Learn about fools and their talk. In verse 12 through 15, we see a lot written about the words of fools. Verse 12, the words of the wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. First of all, it says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. The word gracious doesn't just mean it wins him favor, but his words themselves are like grace that come from his commitment from within. It says in Luke 4:22 about the Lord Jesus, it says, so all bore witness to him and marveled, listen, at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? In other words, gracious words, they persuade and they produce goodwill. These are the words of the wise. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. I want you to think about the amazing power of words. I've told you this story before, but as a young person, I had someone share with me something that really encouraged me. They just complimented something that I did as a teenager. I've never forgotten that. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So if you're a wise person, you choose your words. The Bible says choice words are like apples of gold. In other words, the point is, if you are a wise person, you choose your words carefully. And yet, Fools have a way that they talk. In the scripture, you find sudden destruction that comes. It says in verse 12, his words will swallow him up. It means to destroy. It has the idea of suddenness to that when it says in verse 12, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. It's almost like there's a quickness to it. It's not like something that just gradually happens. All of a sudden, you're kind of in a trap. It's like a Venus flytrap. You ever seen that? That flies around there and that thing's there, and all of a sudden, it just closes on them. It just clamps down. There's a suddenness. And the words of a fool bring sudden destruction. What is a fool? A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They make light of God. That's what a fool is. A fool is someone who makes light of God. In other words, they know what God's will is. They know what God's word says. They know they can go to God in prayer about things, but they don't do it. They think their own way is the way to go. And so they make light of God. That's what a fool does. And we see that there's sudden destruction that comes to a fool. The Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3 says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Fools are talkers. They're talkers. They're generally not doers. They're generally talkers. They talk a big game. Whoever guards his mouth, Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. And the truth is, destruction comes mostly to the fool himself. Yes, there's others that have a price to pay that are around him, but the fool himself is the one that pays the biggest price. So you see in verse 13, not only do we see the destruction that comes, the sudden destruction, but we also see false conclusions. Look at verse 13. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and they end, and the end of his talk is raving madness. That word means, it kind of has two elements to that word, raving madness. It means moral and mental depravity. In other words, mentally, they end up not making sense, and then morally, they go off the deep end morally because they are a fool. Non-believers will eventually go here, but the restraining grace of God may protect them up to this point, but it's coming. By the time it's over, he's committed to madness. The picture is there. So it brings false conclusions. The Jewish writer Shalom Akim said this, you can tell when a fool speaks. He grinds much and produces little. He's a big talker. He grinds at the words a lot. But the truth is, he comes to false conclusions, and it begins in small little decisions, and it eventually ends up in raving madness. You end up believing things you never thought you would ever believe when you are a fool, and this is what he's warning us of. So if we want to live by wisdom, we've got to understand the idea of how fools talk. And then we see that there's future consequences to the fool's talk. Look at verse 14. A fool also multiplies words. He just keeps talking. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? So he multiplies words. He multiplies words. The scripture says, where there are many words, this is a verse we've quoted in our home, where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. Talk, 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 talk. Where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But let me tell you, a fool loves to talk. And a fool just continues to talk. And the Bible says he multiplies his words, but no man knows what is to be. In other words, what's going to be the outcome? I tell you, it says, and who can tell him what will be after him? In other words, there are future consequences that will take place. I heard Chuck Swindoll say this, when people keep talking and talking, he said this. He said, a sharp tongue invites a split lip. Pow! You got a sharp tongue, you better watch out. Somebody just may bust your lip. And sometimes that happens. But here's the thing, there are future consequences to a fool's talk. Because you see, there are little eyes watching you. Fool. fool. There are little ones watching you. Dads impact their kids by the way they talk. Having to pontificate on things they don't know about. Not being teachable. Not being turned in their heart to Jesus Christ, but yet pompously acting like they have all the answers. Don't be just full of words, but take action. You know, they had a creative writing class, and they asked the children, about 30 of them, to ask, I wish, dot, 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 what do you wish? And about 20 of them wished things about their family, about how they wished it could be better. They said, I wished my father would come back. They said, I wish my parents would not fight. They said, I wish that I could make straight A's so I could please my dad. It was all about the way that they had related in that home. And the truth is, a fool's words, they multiply their words. They multiply their words. And all of a sudden, before you know it, it does affect and make future consequences. By the way, Dr. Swindoll says this, and I thought this was interesting. He says, I know more men fools than female fools. The influence of a man in the home, the influence of a woman in the home, it makes a difference. So a fool just multiplies words. And then in verse 15, they lack discretion. Look at verse 15. It says, the labor of fools wearies them, for they do not even know how to go to a city. In other words, they lack direction and they lack discretion. It says there, a man who makes things, the man who continues to talk, it's the picture of you're walking down a road. In the Bible times, there were roads, and just like we have signs today, you ever miss a turn because you get distracted? Well, here's the picture of a fool. The fool is talking so much. The fool's just talking and talking, just, let me tell you this, let me tell you this, let me tell you this. And he just keeps on walking and he misses the turn. So he doesn't even know how to go to the city in verse 15. At the end of it, it says, for they not even know how to go to the city. Basic, simple decisions fools cannot make. He cannot make that decision because he's so enamored with the talking of his own words. A man who makes things difficult for himself by his own stupidity. He's confused about life, this fool is, but he can't get out of it. He's stuck in it. Roads were marked in those days, but if you talked all the time, you'd miss the sign and not make it to the city. And so one of the things that I think will help us, if we want to live by wisdom, we need to realize that one of the characteristics of a fool is they have words that are not discreet, and they don't control what they say. Their words, they just go on and on and on and on. So you learn about fools and their talk. But then the second thing is you learn about fools and their walk, because they avoid responsibility. In verses 16 through 20, we're talking about a leader. And it says this, it says, woe to you, O land, talking about a nation, talking about a community, talking about a group of people. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes feast in the morning. Here's one thing about fools. They just want to be amused. Life is all about amusement to them. In verses 16 and 17, the child in this present case is a youthful, inexperienced ruler who does not realize his responsibility and is the tool of evil advisors. All these advisors want to do is they want to have a big party. And they start in the morning. Many expositors see a reference to Rehoboam, whom at 40 years of age is called a child by his own son, Abijah. In 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 7, because he certainly was childish in his conduct, and yet he was the king. This kind of immaturity is not about age. Sometimes the biggest fool may be the oldest guy. It's not about age, it's about maturity, and it's about taking responsibility. And so we find that in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11, it says this: "Woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night, till wine inflames them." Isn't that interesting? That leader in verse 16 is a leader who gets up in the morning, and instead of taking responsibility, they end up just wanting to party. They just end up wanting to drink. And so that's what they do, and they do it all day long. And then in verse 17, it says, "Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles, and your princes feast at the proper time." You know, Ecclesiastes says there's a time to dance, and there's a time to play, and there's a time to be serious. You know that scripture in, I think, chapter 2, maybe chapter 3, but there's a time for everything. There's a time and a season for everything. Maturity knows there's different times to do things, but the immature or the fool, all they want to do is amuse and have fun and just have pleasure. And so here we see that they just want to be amused. Here's the second thing in verse 18. And by the way, if you have leaders that are willing to take responsibility, I tell you, that's the kind of leader that you want. Someone who will take charge. Someone who will get things done, okay? And so we find that there in verse 17. So the person that does the feasting at the proper time is a picture of someone who is the kind of leader that you want in verse 17. Then in verse 18, here's another characteristic. Not only do they want to be amused, but they're lazy. In verse 18, it says this: "Because of the laziness, the building decays." The building decays and the house leaks. In the Bible times, they had flat roofs, and sometimes they would crack, the material would crack, and the water would seep in, and there would be dripping that would be in the place. And here's the leader who never solved that problem. He just would let it continue to leak. He was lazy. Dripping water was coming through. Let me say this. You need to be a person of wisdom. You need to take initiative. It's not just what you say, it's what you do. It's not just your talk, but it's your walk. I tell you what, did you see the commencement address of Navy Admiral William McRaven to the University of Texas at Austin in 2014? You ought to go and watch this on the internet. His commencement speech, he graduated himself from UT, and he was a Navy SEAL, he was an admiral in the Navy, and years later he came back to address 8,000 graduates. And then here's what he said. He said, "If you want to change the world, make your bed." That was his address. I don't know if you've seen this. You've got to watch this. I almost wanted to play it, but it's too long. I didn't want him to take my time. But anyway, but it's powerful. He says, if you want to make a difference, he says, make your bed. He says, it gives you a small sense of pride. He said, little things matter. He said, you want to accomplish something big one day, you better be faithful in the little things. But see, the fool's lazy. Well, I tell you what, I have to admit that I've got a lazy streak in me at times. When Kelly and I got married, man, Kelly was like, man, I'm telling you, you step out on the floor after you get up in the morning, she's like, let's make the bed. I'm like, well, let me go in here and get some coffee. She's like, no, let's get the bed made. Let's make the bed. Well, the admiral will be happy with Kelly, because the admiral said to them, if you want to change the world, make your bed. He said, listen, you may have a bad day all day. Everything may go wrong, but you'll come home to a made-up bed, and it'll encourage you. And he talked about how little decisions in life encourage you, and they bring hope in order for you to accomplish bigger things. It's just an interesting illustration. But the fool in verse 18, because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. So he's lazy. You know, in Proverbs chapter 24, it says this: I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Immature people, listen, immature people enjoy the privileges and ignore the responsibilities. That's the life of a fool. They ignore the responsibilities and they enjoy the privileges of the positions they're in. That's what a fool does. Mature people see the responsibilities as privileges and they use them to help others. In verse 19, he says this. He says, money answers everything. Look at verse 19. A feast is made for laughter. This is the philosophy of the fool. Hey, look, let's have a feast because it's time to laugh. He says in verse 19, and wine makes us merry. And let me just tell you this, money answers everything. To the fool, you can fix every problem with money. And by the way, the fool will get theirs. The fool will get theirs. Money answers everything. The rulers spend in revelry and debauchery the time and energy which they ought to give to the affairs of state. They think money can meet all their demands. Money, this is their theme, money rules the world. In verse 20, he tells us how to respond to this king or this person in authority. He says, do not curse the king even in your thought. That's interesting. And then there's a little phrase in here about the bird. He says, do not curse the rich even in your bedroom. For a bird, you ever heard the phrase, little bird told me? That comes from right here. Boy, a little birdie told me about this. You know why? Because it's really hard to keep secrets. People love to tell little morsels of things. And he's saying, look, he says, don't curse the king. By the way, look back at chapter 8, verse 2. Chapter 8, verse 2 in Ecclesiastes. I want to hear your Bible pages. There you go. Okay, I'm hearing them. Good. Chapter 8, verse 2 says this. I say, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Do you know that by us being in line with those that are in authority, then we actually give a witness to the world because of that? It's because of our oath to God. And he says, even in this passage, he says in verse 20, don't curse the king. Don't even do it in your thought. It's amazing. Now, can I tell you this? There's always a tension. And by the way, let me say this. We are in the most unique nation. You know, most places, they don't have a choice in their leadership. One of the things about our country, we get the leaders we put in there. That's why I believe every Christian ought to vote. I think you ought to get yourself registered to vote. I think you ought to vote because you have a part in who is an authority. That means at every level, not just the president, but the senators and the congressmen and the city leadership. Take responsibility because it's who you put in there. We get what we elect is what happens. And so we have an opportunity, but there's a tension between obeying. There's some of that right now in our world, the tension between obeying authority and yet feeling like authority is overstretching. I tell you what, even in our county here, let me say this, that with the coronavirus, this COVID-19, with the pandemic, you know, originally we were counseled and encouraged to not have services publicly, and we did it for a while, and we felt good about it. But I want you to know that I talked to some of our county commission people that were making rules, and I basically, here's what I tried to do. I tried to say to them what I felt like God wanted us to do as a church, but I tried to be polite about it. Now, I may not have handled it perfectly, but I didn't end up being rude to them, but I also let them know that there were some convictions that we had that we felt like that we wanted to do. And so we've had a good experience. We tried to do what they wanted us to do. But he says here, I tell you, a fool, when you have a leader that's a fool and you speak out against them, they will many times take your head off. Now, sometimes Sometimes what you're standing on is worthy to have your head taken off for it. You hear what I'm saying? Sometimes when you go against that authority, it's something that's worth standing for to make an impact for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's interesting, at the end of this passage, he says to us, don't curse the king, even in your thought. Do not curse the rich, even in your bedroom, for a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter. And it may not be a good thing that happens. Here's an illustration. Do you remember when Saul was coming after David? This is interesting. When Saul was coming after David, David was in the right. Saul was in the wrong. And his men came to David and they said, David, we've got Saul cornered. We can get him. We can take him out. We can kill him. And yet David was very generous conduct to his cruel persecutor Saul, whom he spared because he was the Lord's anointed. David took the opportunity to, even though he could have taken out Saul, he chose to let God in his sovereignty do that. And so it's an interesting piece of advice here that about when you're dealing with a fool, especially a fool that's a leader. Just be careful of how you deal with it. So here's the conclusion, though, when you think about all of this. Solomon has told us that life is indeed worth living, even though death is unavoidable, and even though life is unpredictable. Do you hear me? Death is unavoidable and life is unpredictable. So what do? Just go home and say, well, just let it all happen to me, fate, whatever happens. No. You know what you do? You do what Solomon is saying to do. You live by wisdom. And that's why he gives us chapter 10 to tell us the difference between fools and wisdom. Rick, the young man who wanted to be an astronaut, spent 2 hours looking over the question, have you ever worn hard contact lenses? His wife tells in this book about him how difficult it was for him to type the word yes. He thought in his mind, I filled it out 3 other times and said no. They're going to come get me and arrest me. They say, you lied to the United States of America. He said, but I had to decide. Was I going to go the fool's way and do it my way, or was I going to be an honorable man of integrity? I don't know what your decision is. Maybe it's something about your business. Maybe it's something about your taxes. Maybe it's something about the way you treat an employee. Maybe it's something about somebody in your family. I don't know what your situation is, but the question is, will you be a fool and go your own way, or will you honor God and have integrity? Well, Rick ended up saying yes on that, and he drove 2 hours to a Navy base to hand deliver it so that it would get emailed to Houston. He ended up in a interview process and ended up becoming an astronaut. He was the commander of the Columbia mission that on its reentry went up in flames. February the 1st, 2003, Rick Husband and all of those crew died in the Columbia crash. This is a book his wife wrote called High Calling, The Courageous Life and Faith of Space Shuttle Columbia Commander Rick Husband. At the very last page of this book, I've got it dog-eared right here. Here's what Evelyn, his wife, said. She said, on the last day of Rick's journal entries, he wrote, Lord, I want to do your will, and I want to be a godly man. Please help me to seek and know your will and obey. Obey you and what you want me to do. I want to be happy and joyful and see that reflected in my family, my work, and especially my relationship with you. And then she concludes in the last paragraph. She says, as Rick's wife and best friend, I can affirm that his heart's cry to God was answered in his lifetime. How do you put a price tag on laying your head on the pillow at night and knowing that before God and everyone else in this world, you have been honest, You have lived by the wisdom of Almighty God. There's no price you could put on that. David, the insurance man, he said no to that promotion and that big increase. He kept his children in that church, and those children have made him a happy man because they have honored Christ. They deeply fell in love with Jesus Christ. And I heard that man in a testimony say, everybody in my world was telling me, what an opportunity you have. Why would you ever say no to that? He said, I have no doubt that I made the right call. Instead of just going with the money, I asked, Lord, what would be the most spiritual decision that would impact my family in whether I take this promotion or I stay where I am? And he said, I'm so glad that I stayed. Wisdom or folly? All right, Ira. You've been sitting on my $10 bill. You've been sitting on my Bible. And I know your buddy over here, Simon, your brother, is a good man, but he's probably saying, hey, you've already got a Cadillac Bible. You ain't got 10 bucks. So, which one do you want? Man. Thank you. He took the Bible. Hey, Ira. Open up that Bible to page 384. Hold up what's in there. Hold up the money, man. Hold up the money. Okay. Hey, listen. The answer is not in money, but the illustration is good. One of the first verses of Scripture I ever memorized, and I pray that you would memorize this verse of Scripture, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Can I tell you a secret? Everything you really want in this world, what you really want and what you really need, you will get it. You will get what you need, not necessarily what is your wants way out there necessarily, but what you really need in this world, God will give you when you seek him first. So the question is, are you going to be a fool or are you going to be wise? Because I promise you, if you choose to be wise, it's going to cost you something. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.